Yeah, no, but the point is that those fell apart, and immediately Trump's response was to impose a blockade on the blockade. He's like, okay, you blockade the strait. Well, we'll blockade you. And what that means in practical terms is two things. If any ships pay the toll or make arrangements or are allied with whatever, any ship that the Iranians let through, the Americans will block. And then furthermore, they will block other Iranian ports that the U.S. media has not been emphasizing this, but that the Iranians won't be able, but they don't ship oil out of these other ports, but they would, you know, other shipping would be cut off. So I think we should take these things one at a time, right? So blockading the Strait of Hormuz. Okay, but I think this is like where the U.S., where Trump and his people are beyond stupid because they've taken their eye off the ball. I mean, The point here is to reduce oil prices by increasing supply, by reopening the Strait of Hormuz. Right. If you cut off Iranian oil as well as the oil, the non-Iranian oil that's currently not getting through, and you also cut off like whatever stuff that's going to China or anything that like paid a toll to the Iranians, you're further reducing whatever trickle is getting through. And by the way, you know, this isn't Ted Rawls' opinion or Jamal Thomas's opinion. This is the opinion of the stock market, which is tanking right now, and the oil futures market, which is shooting up right now.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what you do. Like, that's what's so crazy about it, right? Like, the entire point of Iran blocking the Strait of Hormuz is to have leverage on global energy markets. Basically, it's like, okay, you keep fucking with us. And so we're going to make your life miserable by driving up the price of energy to where there is a cost imparted into your population in a way that doesn't really get imparted.
It's like basically, you impose sanctions on us, we impose sanctions on you.
Right. Going back to during the Jimmy Carter administration, where they had gas lines and stuff like that. It's like, okay, you need a reckoning. And that reckoning will be felt through the cost that you're paying for everything, mm-hmm. including gas. All right. So Trump turns around and says, fine, if you're going to do that, we're going to make it worse. like that's right. Like, the entire point.
It's the most petulant shit I've ever heard. And that's saying a lot when you're talking about Donald Trump.
It is. It's insane. Like, so
there. But even the Brookings Institution is like saying, like, oh, it actually kind of makes sense. And I'm like, I don't think it makes sense. I mean, it'll impose a little. I mean, basically, first of all, Iran is not a petro state. It's not Bahrain. They have it's a diverse economy that does a lot of other things. So it's not like, oh, if we can't sell oil, we're fucked. But also, they're in an existential battle, right? So this is a game of economic chicken. And basically, it's the question is who's going to blink first. I'd say the Iranians are more in a better position to withstand suffering because they're used to it. Yes. And especially right now, than the Americans or their European allies are. I think right now, the Europeans, like Macron and so on, Keir Starmer, they just can't believe this shit. It's like, they're like, here they are being dragged into this thing that they had nothing to do with.
Well, by the way, they're not being dragged into it because the UK has come out and said, we're not involved in this.
I know. Sure, but they're paying the price economically. They're already running out of oil. There's already gas stations in the UK that are empty.
Well, because if they're no longer, A, they're not taking Russian energy, right?
Right.
Or at the very least, they're trying not to. And so you have the situation where they're already at war with Russia. They've already been passing sanctions and everything else against Russia. It's like, we don't want to take their energy. And by 2027 or whatever the date is, we're not taking the energy. And now you have this war with Iran where the energy, 30% go through the Strait of Hormuz? It stopped. Okay, what does that mean for Europe? And did the U.S. even go to Europe and say, hey, by the way, we're going to do this? No, they did not. Meaning the U.S. didn't even alert like the Gulf states and stuff, that this was a policy that they were going to effectively take on. We don't seem to care about what happens to Europe.
No.
I mean, it's
no, we don't care. I mean, or Trump doesn't care.
Trump doesn't care. Yeah.
I mean, we're in agreement, right? This is an incredibly boneheaded move.
It is.
How long will it last, do you think?
Petulant. It's very petulant.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I give you an example. One time I was in, I forget the country I was in. I think it was in Austria or something like that. And I got into an argument with the clinic in Austria. And I was like, well, screw it. I'm just not coming. my girlfriend was like, what were you going to do? Like, were you gonna find, how were you going to find another clinic? I was like, I don't know, but damn it, I wasn't going to do what they're telling me to do. It's that, right? It's like, that. No, I don't have another option, but damn it, this is the path where I'm
going. We've all been there. Yeah. And we all have that childish side. But normally it doesn't have massive geopolitical and economic implications.
Right.
I mean,
like, fuck it, they're not going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to do it. It's that.
I mean, by the end of this month, I mean, the pain, you know, there's going to be a world of hurt starting to spread around the world economically.
Yeah. Well, that's the wild part. Like, and there's another part to this too, right? Like, so the Taiwanese opposition leader just met with China. And, you know, there's this question of, okay, well, what do other countries start to do when they realize, like, for example, when you are the Gulf states and you realize, oh my God, these bases are magnets for Iranian missiles. And they're not protecting, you know, right? It's not repulsing those missiles. Mm. It's absorbing those missiles. When you look at Ukraine and you think to yourself, hey, overthrowing the government of Ukraine wasn't necessarily in the betterment of Ukraine. Like, what do countries do when they see that, A, the U.S. actually can't protect you?
Or doesn't want to.
And doesn't want to. And if anything, is unreliable.
Well, and is exposing you to increased risk. Like, you'd be better off without them entirely.
Yeah. Like, that's a sea change. I mean, and then you're talking about Russia taking more territory, Iran taking more territory. These things are...
And also, like, when you look at NATO, for example, right? The whole idea was... Like, oh, so the U.S. is like, we don't want to pay as much and blah, blah, blah. And that's reasonable. There's an argument to be made for it. I've made it myself.
Yeah.
But that from the European standpoint, it's kind of like, you know, it used to be like Big Sam at the table was like, checks on me, give me the bill. So it's everybody another round, you know. And so that bought us the influence. And it bought us a lot of maybe not goodwill, but tolerance around from these allies. But if we're not picking up the tab anymore and we're being assholes, really, then why do they need to deal with us?
There's that. I mean, think of the costs that Europe is effectively taking on in regards to the energy costs, the money that they're paying for weapons, and all of this other stuff. It's just insane. And now there's a blockade that is going to drive up costs that much more, not just for Europe, but for all of us.